Father God, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for everything that you're doing in our midst. And Father God, we thank you for each and every person that's here tonight. We thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for their life, and they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. Father God, we thank you tonight as we go to study your word. We thank you, Father, that your word will not return void, but Father God, that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us, and help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. But we thank you that most importantly, we'll take that word that springs forth life on the inside of us, and we'll share it with the people who are down and out and brokenhearted, with the lost and the dying in a hurting world, that we'll share the love of Jesus Christ with those. And Father, we thank you for revival to this generation, revival to this nation, revival to this city. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father, we thank you tonight. We come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability, that you be lifted up. And we thank you, Father, that as we minister today, that they will not see me ministering, but they'll see you ministering through me. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. And most importantly, we thank you for that anointing that's present tonight, that anointing that saturates us, that anointing that changes us in an instant, that anointing that just sets us free. And we thank you for mom and dad as they start a crusade tonight. We thank you that for many things taking place at their meetings. Thank you for everything you are doing and everything you will do, both here and around the world. And we give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God's a good God. Like I said, mom and dad, they're starting a crusade tonight in Longmont, Colorado. And they'll be there tonight through Tuesday, I believe. And then on Wednesday, they go to, I think, Dickinson, North Dakota. Not North Carolina, but North Dakota, and starting a crusade there. We have just bought some new equipment, and so I'm not for sure, but hopefully they're going to be able to broadcast it live on Facebook Live at the Kenneth Hagin Ministry site on Facebook Live. And tonight's service actually starts at 6 p.m. in Longmont, but that's 7 p.m. our time, and most of you probably won't be able to see that. But tomorrow through Tuesday, it's 10:30 in the morning, 7 p.m. at nighttime. So that's an hour difference. So it'd be 11:30 a.m. in the morning, and then 8 p.m. at nighttime. I'm getting things confused. But anyway, so any of you that have Facebook Live, they'll be broadcasting that on the Kenneth Hagin Ministries Facebook Live site. So if you're interested in seeing them on crusade, you can do that there. Also, I want to make a special announcement. Today would have been my grandfather's 100th birthday, so it's pretty awesome. I mean, you know, think about, you know, 100 years ago today, this morning, I mean, he was born. You know, it's a long time. I mean, you know, and you think about, I know many people have been posting different things on Facebook and different things, but, you know, the legacy he left and the millions of lives that were changed just because he was born. You know, sometimes we don't think about if somebody wasn't born, then they would have never been able to influence our lives. Now, obviously, if he wasn't born, I wouldn't have been born, you know, because he's my grandfather. But, you know, it took him being born. But then I've heard many people, you know, had made statements, said, well, if Brother Hagin, you know, didn't go into ministry, I don't know if I would be alive today. Because of what, you know, what he's taught and healed, and I mean, it's just awesome to think about it. You know, 100 years. I mean, it's a long time, and you know, he's looking over in heaven, looking over at us, and you know, just thanking God for what, you know, he's been able to establish. We've been able to continue, not just us, but you know, the many Ray McGrads and many other people that followed after our his ministry. And I mean, God's doing marvelous things, and the best days are ahead. Amen. I mean, it's, you know, it's just, but 100 years is a milestone mark. I mean, you know, obviously he's not here to celebrate his 100th birthday, you know, here on earth, but you know what? He has it better off in heaven, you know, and think sometimes, you know, I sometimes even have trouble even over the years, even watching things, videos and stuff, just because, you know, I'm just, you know, miss him a lot. I mean, you know, he not only was my natural grandfather, he was my spiritual father. I mean, I learned so much from him, and it, you know, just, I was traveled with him, and like I said, because of him, I'm a YouTube sensation. You can watch, you know, You can see me on YouTube, following after him, and many, many different YouTube. And it's funny because as we travel around, said, well, I've never heard you minister, but I've seen you on YouTube a lot. And so I'm like, maybe I should actually do something on YouTube and, you know, kind of use my YouTube fame to maybe help my comedian. Maybe I should just do YouTube comedy or something. I don't know. But you know, it's just 100 years is a kind of like some milestone mark. And, I wish that he was here, in person. But, he probably glad he's not. I mean, I know it's hard to even think about, we being here. But, as you get older, I mean, he always would tell us that he was going to live until he was satisfied. And so praise God. Amen. Well, today I want to talk to you about a story we've read many, many times, but kind of want to hit from a new angle today. Mark chapter 4, turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. We're going to read from the New Living Translation, Mark chapter 4 in verse 36, and we're going to read a story that everybody knows. And actually, my dad was talking today about storms, and so I had some thoughts, and so I'm going to minister tonight about storms a little bit, a different level. But Mark chapter 4, verse 35, it says, I'm going to go ahead and read the story and then we'll go back. It says, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, all the other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up, high waves were breaking into the boat and began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked him, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They asked each other. Even the winds and the waves obeyed him. And so I know we've looked at this many times and, most importantly, before they started, remember Jesus said, we're going to go the other side. When Jesus gives a command, it's going to be fulfilled. I mean, this is Jesus Christ giving the command. This is not, not Humpty Dumpty who's sitting on a wall or something like that. I mean, we're talking about Jesus Christ, not Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck or whatever. He said, let us go the other side. And so, on the way there, I mean, this is sometimes when we think about a boat, we think about a yacht, but Jesus was not on a yacht here. He was on a boat. All right, there's differences. Sometimes people think, well, maybe Jesus was down in the cabin, he was just chilling down there. But as we look at it, it looks like he was actually at the back of the boat where there was water coming in. And we're thinking about, well, he must have been pretty tired if he was able to, because it said not only was there winds and waves, it was actually coming into the boat. He was back in the back, laying on a pillow, and he didn't wake up because of the winds and waves. He woke up because the disciples started shouting at him, Jesus, we need help. And sometimes, well, I kind of laugh at the disciples because, we all do because, like, Jesus Christ is in your boat and you're concerned. But they were, because it didn't matter that Jesus was in their boat. What mattered was is there's winds and waves and it doesn't look good. But I think the whole thing is, we really find out the whole thing whenever, after Jesus woke up and he probably was kind of like the one scripture I always read about Paul being greatly annoyed. He was probably the same way. He was probably greatly annoyed. He goes, I'm so tired I can sleep with water coming on top of me and you guys wake me up. So he rebuked the waves and then it says that his disciples were still afraid and they're like, who is this guy? The problem is you have to know who Jesus is. If you don't know who Jesus is, doesn't matter if he's in your boat or not. You have to know who he is and what he's done for his presence to mean anything that he's in your boat. And a lot of times we don't even know who he is. And, I always say many times, it doesn't matter who you are. What matters most is who you are in Christ Jesus. Because in Christ, we have everything. That's why it talks about renewing our mind. Because when we renew our mind, we think like Christ thinks. And see, if the disciples were able to think like Christ thinks, then they would be able to sleep in the boat too. But they weren't able to sleep because they were too busy looking at the storms. And when, you know, the thing about it is, it just seems, and this kind of happens in real life, and obviously most of the time, now around Oklahoma, obviously we do have some storms, and we've had a few, some rainstorms, and, you know, also now we have earthquakes, which is kind of a new one for some of us who live here a long time. We've had tornadoes a long time, like, we can deal with tornadoes, earthquakes are like, weird, so it's like, you know, but, you know, praise God, we have it all here in Oklahoma, except for oceans. You know, and if we could talk about a hurricane, then Texas is in trouble, so, you know, so, but we do have the Tulsa Golden Hurricane that plays football, well, they try to play football sometimes. I've always wondered, you know, being from Tulsa, why is there the Golden Hurricane? I mean, we don't have hurricanes in Tulsa. Why aren't they like the Tulsa Tornadoes or something like that, or the Twisters, or, anyway, that's nothing to do with preaching. I've just, my mind always wonders things like that. But, you know, we don't have necessarily physical storms, but on a daily basis, we go through the storms of life. You know, but the great thing about it is, any storm we ever face, Jesus is there with us in the boat. If we're born-again Christians, he's right there with us. He says in his word, he will never leave us nor forsake us. So any kind of storm, Jesus is there. But you know what? What's interesting is when we start facing storms, we forget he's there. Just like the disciples, I mean, they could turn around and see him, but they still forgot he was there. But, you know, mainly, like I said, they don't realize the power that Jesus possessed. And then Jesus basically, you know, I'm more contemporary. I use the word stupid. I think my book, Don't Be Stupid, obviously. I mean, but basically Jesus was really saying in my language, are you disciples stupid? Have you not heard anything I've taught you the whole time I've been here? Have you not learned anything? I mean, you know, and I'm not trying to make fun of them, but you know, you would think that after a while that you might actually get this. And the fact is that before we even started, remember, Jesus actually gave them a pep talk. Hey, we're going to go the other side. Now, what does that mean? That means it doesn't matter what rain comes, what wind comes, we're going to the other side. Even if the boat's half full, we're still making it to the other side. Why? Because Jesus said so. But I'm here to tell you, you're going to make it because Jesus said so. And he's with you. He's in you. He's in your boat. He's not just in your boat. He's in you. And then, you know, but I've always wondered, though. I mean, this is where I want to get to, something I've never thought about. I wonder if Jesus actually, before they got in the boat, whenever he said, let's go to the other side, if he actually would have gave them warning, hey, guys, it's going to rain hard. There's going to be winds. There's going to be waves. Don't worry about it. We're going to go to the other side. If they would have acted the same way, you know, maybe they wouldn't have been so afraid because, you know, they had reassurance. But my point is, I'm going to reassure you today, you're going the other side, whether the wind comes, whether the rain comes, you know, whether you it doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside, because the outside's only temporal. But on the inside, there's something greater than a storm. Remember, the Bible says that greater is he on the inside of me than he is in the world. What's on the inside of you is greater than a storm, greater than whatever you might face in life. And you never face anything alone. You know, everyone, maybe, I'm sure most of you saw the Home Alone movies. Anyone see the Home Alone movies back in the day, you know? You know, I actually had one of my first sermons that I actually came up with was you're never alone. But, you know, when I was using the Home Alone movies, you know, this kid was home alone. Obviously, he was able to fend for himself. You know, but the thing about it, Jesus will never leave you home alone. You don't even have you don't have to worry about it. You're never home by yourself. Now, many people, for whatever reason, you know, they go through times whenever, you know, they get depressed or they don't know what to do. And the reason they don't know what to do is because even though that Jesus is on the inside of them, they don't know who he is. Like the disciples, they didn't really know who he is. They didn't understand the power that they possessed on the inside of their boat. You know, they didn't realize that. Because if they would have realized that what's on the inside of their boat, they wouldn't have been concerned, because the man, Jesus Christ, the man, he said, we're going to the other side. And if he says we're going to the other side, we're going to the other side. You know, and it doesn't matter when, as we're seeing winds and waves and people getting all mad and say, well, Jesus said we're going to the other side, so we're going. Well, you see, that's the attitude that we need to possess when we start facing our winds and waves. Jesus said we're victorious. See, it says, remember, when Paul preached and he says we're victorious in Christ Jesus. So in him, we're victorious. Without him, we're not. But you have to know who you are in Christ. See, we're victorious. It says we're the head, not the tail. We're above, not beneath. Do you understand being victorious means you win? Sometimes people don't get that. They don't get some of Paul's preaching. You're victorious. Basically, Paul's saying you're a winner, not a loser. All right, I'm giving you loser. You're not a loser with Christ. But there are some times that from the outside, it seems like maybe you might be losing. But see, you can't look at the outside because the game's not over. You haven't gotten, as long as the boat's moving, everything's still in play. And a great example when you use a game was right here. We as a church family watched the Super Bowl last year, and most of us figured out, we thought what was going to happen didn't happen. We thought one team, oh man, they got it in the bag. There's never been a team to come back from that much of a loss, but you know what? Someone has to be the first one. And because I've heard, sometimes people say, that they're going through and they've been diagnosed with some kind of disease or whatever. I said, don't you know that no one's ever survived? I don't care that no one's ever survived. I don't care that no one's ever won in this situation. I'm a winner, not a loser. Jesus didn't make me a loser. He made me a winner. I'm victorious in Christ Jesus, and he's in my boat. I know he's in my boat, and we're going to keep rowing. It doesn't matter because we are winners. And it's interesting because in the Christian world, we sing songs about victory. And anyone ever sung about victory? But, it seems, I'm not trying to pick on anyone here because I've done it myself. There are times when we're at home and maybe we open a few bills and maybe everything we had was bills and junk mail. And we look at our bills and then we look at our bank statement that also comes there, and I'm like, man, I don't feel like I'm winning. What's going on? And then the next day, you wreck your car. And even if it wasn't your fault, you still had to pay the deductible. And it just seems like, man, there's, all these things happen. But you know what? Jesus is still in my boat. In the end, I win. As long as I keep going, I win. You realize that you can't win if you don't keep going. Remember, your old adage, winners never quit, quitters never win. We all have heard that, in life. But sometimes we don't actually, I don't know, there's something like, well, I'm a Christian. We don't realize we have real life. You can take motivational quotes and actually understand, don't quit. Your faith will see you through. Just believe God. Only believe. All things are possible to them that believes. Just believe. It's not that hard. But my point is, remember I said, what if Jesus would have told the disciples, hey guys, there's going to be some storms, but we're making it to the other side. I bet you when the storms came, they were like, okay, these are the storms that Jesus said. But no big deal. I'll give you a great example. All right. Great example. Now, many of you probably do not know this about me, and it's been a while, but I am a certified scuba diver. All right, so, my mom doesn't like me to scuba dive. I don't know, because she's not really, she can only swim a little bit. It's more like dog paddle swim, so she's afraid of the ocean. But, I'm not afraid of the ocean. I'm not afraid of anything, actually, because God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And I tell my mom every time that. But anyway, that's another story. But, I've spent a lot. I'm from Oklahoma, but when I was younger, I used to go to the ocean a lot. And I surfed a little bit, but I got stitches on my feet and it wasn't really good. So I started bodyboarding more. I had a real nice bodyboard, but I would get into some pretty good sized waves. She didn't like that either. But at least I was on top of the water. The fact that going under the water kind of scares her, all right, a little bit. And I don't know why, because I've had safety training. I know what to do when I'm underwater if something happens. And, you know, like the air tank doesn't work and things like that. I mean, I can survive. I'm really good. In fact, whenever I was doing my first open water dives, it just seemed that every time that I was doing tests and stuff, everything went wrong. Like my mask got knocked off and all this stuff, you know. And I told my instructor, I'm sorry. And it's actually was a lady. She goes, no. It was really good because I saw you in situations where most people would panic, and you didn't panic. You knew what to do. Like there's one thing what you do is you we have your respirator. That's what you breathe from. If you don't know anything, and so one thing we try to do a respirator sweep. You actually take your respirator and throw it out back this way, and you come back and you find it, and you sweep it and you put it in your mouth. Well, I swept twice, never found it in the water. And I'm like, okay, you know, I kind of maybe need to take a breath here. It's been, you know, so what you do, you have a spare one down here. So I pulled my spare one out, put it in my mouth and breathe that way. And then I just redid the drill. And like I said, I felt like an idiot because I'm like, you know, I messed up. And she goes, no, most people actually would have freaked out and started, you know, didn't know what to do. And I would have had to help them. Or the other situation, I knocked my mask off is there's, you know, the extra respirator there is, she had one. And so you do a test in case I ran out of air. So I would take hers and put, well, she had this fancy one that wasn't like mine. Mine was a cheap one. I mean, you know, because I live in Oklahoma, she lives in Florida. So she dives a lot more than me. She dives every day. You know, I dove like twice a year. All right. And that was a lot. So I put it in my mouth and what happened was that I had it upside down and it knocked my mask off and my mask went flying. I had to go find my mask. And, you know, I mean, we're down about 45 feet. Well, not that deep, but 45 feet of water, you know, it's, you know, so. And so anyway, I'm telling you all this about scuba diving to tell you. So I was on a dive one time there in Florida. And the dive master told us, he said, okay, on this dive, we're going to go through, it was a shipwreck, and they're going to show us in some different stuff. Actually, one shipwreck, but there was different things from a shipwreck that was there, and some reefs and stuff. He said, we're going to come to a point, and I'm going to bring some food. And, you know, obviously moray eels are not really friendly, and most people don't want to, you know, hang around morays or whatever. But I'm going to tell you that there's a moray eel there that's, and so don't be concerned. I mean, you know, it's, I'm not saying it's friendly but he said, you know, I'm going to feed the moray. So, but if you see this, most of the time moray eels are actually in the coral, but it said this one swims out, you know, and I'll feed it. And so don't get scared. You know, it's going to be there. Okay. So me and this other guy, we're just minding our own business. So here's this moray comes around and basically, you know, it wasn't like right between my legs, but it was below me, you know, probably like, you know, here's my legs, probably, you know, right below me. It's a moray eel, no problem. It got pretty close, but no problem. The guy told me there's going to be a moray, and then he's, all of a sudden he comes, you know, understand, we don't have radios or anything. He comes over and he's like doing all kinds of weird, you know, motions, like, no, no. So when he got up, he told us, he said, that wasn't the right moray. You know, but no, I wasn't trying to mess with it anyway. But, you know, see, I wasn't afraid because he told me not to be afraid. So I wonder if Jesus would have actually told the disciples ahead of time, hey, don't be afraid. This might happen, but, you know, it's okay. We're going to make it. Because, see, because my instructor told me not to be afraid, I wasn't afraid, but I probably should have been afraid, but I really wasn't afraid because I was told not to be afraid. You know, and so maybe sometimes you need to understand, don't be afraid. Because storms come. Coming back to one of my scriptures I quote a lot, John 10:10. Now, in the New Living Translation says this, the thief's purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy, but my purpose is to bring, you know, actually is to provide for you or something. Because this is New Living, so I don't always say it right. Maybe I'll put it on. It says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. All right, so, you know, but you can read this. The thief's purpose is to provide storms for your life. But my purpose is to give you a satisfying life. So, but my purpose is to help you through the storms. Not only through them, but to be satisfied as you're in the middle of them. So, you know, the point is, you're going to face storms. That's the point. And I want to tell you today, you will face storms. Storms come, but also storms go. But you need to know ahead of time. But it's like, I think if Jesus would have said, hey guys, we're going to face some storms here. Don't worry about it. What I'm telling you, you're going to face some storms, but don't worry about it, because greater is he that's on the inside of you than he that's in the world. You're greater than the storms, not because you're greater, because Jesus is greater than your storm. He's able to help you overtake that storm. So the storms will come. Now, I mean, think about this. Well, I don't care how you voted or whatever. It doesn't really matter for my illustration. Basically, President Trump knows every morning he wakes up, there's going to be some storm against him. It just happens. It doesn't matter, you know, whether it's Russia, whether it's this, whether it's that, there's going to be a storm, because the media is going to make sure there's a storm. But we have to understand, really, I mean, as we watch that, you know, and it doesn't seem like he's really that troubled about these storms. He keeps having kinds of weird tweets, and, you know, he's not really, I mean, because, you know, he's got a point now, he expects it. So, but you need to get to the point, you know, I expect the devil to bring forth storms, because, I mean, it says right here, his purpose, the thief's purpose, that's what he does. I mean, it shouldn't be surprising that's what he does. He brings forth trouble to you. I mean, so really saying that he's a troublemaker, but praise God that I have came now to take care of your trouble, but not just take care of it, but to give you a satisfying life. Well, it's not very satisfying, you know, to have this storm, and then, you know, you feel like you're a loser. You're not a loser. You're a winner through Jesus. He's came to help you win, even though there are storms that are there. You know, so the thing is, what Jesus was trying to tell you, do not concentrate on the storms, which is basically the devil. Concentrate on me. You know, look at me. You know, I said, if you have to, you know, get a little screensaver on your phone and a picture of Jesus. And I mean, if that's what it takes, you remember that you're not by yourself. Hey, it's us together. You know, you can show all your friends. Here, it's me and Jesus. We're going through this storm. All right. Or, I mean, now with Photoshop or whatever, you can actually, you know, you can put yourself in a picture with Jesus. I mean, you know, we have that technology now. So, I mean, remember Forrest Gump? I mean, he was in all these famous things or whatever. So you can, so that, you know, they could even put you there, at you know, with the Lord's Supper or wherever. So maybe you need to do that. You need to find a picture of Jesus and, you know, and put picture of yourself. And so that reminds you that wherever you go, he's there too. You know, and speaking of, you know, kind of being funny about the whole YouTube thing, if you see some of the mess, you know, things on YouTube with my grandfather ministering, everywhere he was going, walking, I was always behind him. I was shadowed. I was there to help him. But that's what Jesus said. He's right there with you to help you, even when it's the worst storm you've ever faced in your entire life. You know, and the great thing about it, it doesn't say, well, you know, there'll be a few storms that I just can't take care of. He didn't say that. He'll take care of everything. The only thing it says is only believe. All things are possible if you believe. So the deal is, you need to understand storms will come, but what do you do when storms come? See, you should be preparing for the storm. And we in Oklahoma, we should understand, and we understand that. I mean, every one of you, I guarantee you, at your house somewhere, you have flashlights. All right? And, you know, you have some kind of device, you know, that works on where you can listen to news or whatever. Because we're used to electricity going out when a storm comes. And nobody wants to be where there's a tornado that's overhead and you don't even know where it is. And today's day and age, and it happens also the other day, we don't even know if the sirens will go off or not. We don't even know. You know, and so they, and for some of you that didn't hear the story, we had a tornado hit right in the middle of Tulsa. And they said, well, it wasn't showing that it was really tornadic until after it hit. Well, that's real comforting, isn't it? Yeah. You know, after it did millions of dollars worth of damage, then we figured out it's tornadic. I mean, you know, and it's, you know, usually what happens is is it becomes tornadic over a farmer's field, and so it's not that big a deal. But sometimes it comes tornadic right over the middle of things. And so, you know, it's just like some of you, you know, that we do tornado, damage stuff, and, you know, and we help people out. And so one time I was kind of following a tornado to be there real close whenever, and it kind of turned, and I didn't know where it was. And I'm listening to the radio, and, you know, it's, you know, I kind of, for a second, I kind of got a little scared because, you know, they were kind of describing where it was, and I was pretty close to where it was, and I was trying to follow behind, not get into, you know, I was trying to go the other way, and it made a turn. It was, and it was kind of an eerie time, you know, because I didn't know right where it was, and I was closer than I probably should have been, and so I like went like 5 miles the other way, and then I'm like, maybe I'm not a good tornado chaser. Plus, I really don't want hail damage on my truck either. So, you know, but anyway, I actually was one of the first people on the scene when it hit. So anyway, but there to talk to a couple people whose houses got hit, and you know, one of them, there was a tree on someone's house. He was like, yeah, I was at home and I was in this room, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, the tree falls on my house. But you know, the good thing about everything, everybody was okay. So anyway, but I kind of decided I'm not going to be so close to tornadoes that I don't know where they are, because that was kind of a dangerous thing. But you know, we in Oklahoma, we're prepared for the storm. You know, we think about those kind of things. That's why we all have flashlights. And, you know, the biggest thing is if we don't have storms in a while, then all of a sudden, you know, the power goes out, and they're like, now where do we put all those flashlights? I know the other day our power went out, and my wife was like running around the house trying to figure out where we put all our flashlights. Because see, what happens is we put our flashlights all in one little area, but over time the kids move flashlights. You know, because they're trying to look, you know, under the bed. They're trying to find out if they lost something, you know, went under their bed or something, because one of the dogs rubbed under the bed. So they're, you know, people, and then like, so my wife goes and tries to find all the flashlights. Now she found them all again. They're all where they need to be whenever that we know they're supposed to be. And, you know, so that was them. Anyway, praise God that we know what to do in a storm. Amen. What do? We trust in the Lord. All right, now I'm going to read, I'm going to go to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27, this is talking about Paul whenever he was facing a storm. Now, he was actually on a ship. You know, he was a prisoner, really. But I want to kind of read this. Acts 27 in verse number 9. I'm reading from the NLT as well. It says, we had lost a lot of time, so they were there. They said they were going real slow because it wasn't. So the weather was becoming dangerous for sea travel because it was so late in the fall. And Paul spoke to the ship's officers about it. Men, he said, I believe there is trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, and danger to our lives as well. But the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and the owner than to Paul. And since Fair Heavens was an exposed harbor, a poor place to spend the winter, most of the crew wanted to go on to Phoenix. I'd like to go on to Phoenix too, but I don't know. It's a lot warmer there in the winter. Anyway, further up the coast of Crete and spend the winter there. Phoenix was a good harbor with only a southwest and northwest exposure. But it goes on to verse number 13. It talks about the wind got strong, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, they're in the middle of another shipwreck. Everything's getting, they're in the middle of a storm, all right? Getting down to verse 21, it says, no one eaten for a long time. Finally, Paul called the crew together and said, men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete. You would have avoided all this damage and loss. But take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. For last night, an angel of God to whom I belong and to whom I serve stood beside me. And he said, don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God, it will be just as he said. But we will be shipwrecked on an island. And then that it happened. You know, the thing about it is, sometimes actually God warns us ahead of time. You know, many are led by the Spirit. I mean, we're being led by the Spirit, and God warns us ahead of time. Now, sometimes in this situation, Paul didn't have complete control. He only had, you know, he was trying to give influence, but they didn't take the things. You know, sometimes even working for your company, you know, maybe you're a manager of a certain company, and you have some, you know, you feel that we should do something, but you know what? You're not the boss. You only can have some control. But there are some times that God warns us. Now, see, some things too, I mean, there's two things that happened right here when it came down to the everybody on board the ship knew that there were bad weather and they could be facing a shipwreck. So it didn't take a rocket scientist to decide that they probably shouldn't be sailing anyway. But I think on top of that, I believe that the Lord, now he doesn't say that the Lord appeared to him before they sailed, but he talked to the ship's captain. So I think that the Lord was trying to warn him, hey, don't go. But I mean, he's a prisoner, so he doesn't have a whole lot of control here. But he tried to use his influence. But you know, interesting part about it, whenever they got in the middle of the storm, they turned to Paul. He was their comfort. He was the one to comfort them. And you know, the good thing about it is their lives were saved because of Paul. You know, sometimes, you know, it's good to hang around somebody who knows God. Amen. You know, but the thing about it is sometimes the Lord leads us and we ignore him. Anyone ever done that? You know, he tells us, you know, a lot of times, my grandfather always would say, you know, sometimes the Lord tells us what to do. Sometimes he tells us what not to do. All right? And he leads us and he guides us. But sometimes we don't follow his leading. But you know what? At that point, even though, you know, basically it was like, you know, even though you guys didn't follow what I told you to do, I'm gonna spare you anyway. That's how good our God is. Even when we mess up, he's like, you know what? You were foolish for messing up, but praise God, I'm going to spare you. You're going to make it. You know, even though you shouldn't have, you know, if you would have followed my advice, you wouldn't be in this storm. And it's happened in my own life. I've had many times where I know I shouldn't have done something. I made a decision, you know, that sounded good, you know, in a financial realm or whatever, you know, or some kind of fancy salesman or whatever talked me into buying something. And I knew I probably shouldn't do it. I felt in my heart I shouldn't. I mean, maybe I didn't have a thus saith the Lord, don't do it. I just knew something on the inside. I knew I shouldn't do it. And I got myself into financial issues, but praise God that God is faithful. Even though I put myself in the mess, he got me out of the mess because, you know, he always provides. And that's what happens. You know, but see, sometimes what happens is when we put ourselves in the storm, then we think, well, God's not going to take care of us now. I mean, we're going to have to live with this mess because we caused it. No, God loves you so much. Remember, the Bible says there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. He loves you even when you're a mess. Even when you've caused a mess of your life, he still loves you. Even when you messed up, even whenever you've done things wrong, it doesn't matter. He still loves you. But the point is, storms are coming, but be ready for them. Be ready for them. And you say, well, I'm not telling you they're coming tomorrow. I don't know when they're coming. But, the thief, his purpose is to cause storms. And I understand that. I understand that people think, well, you know, if I'm a better Christian, I'll have less storms. No, you won't. You'll probably have more. And like, why? Well, because it makes natural sense. Because if I'm living like the devil doesn't want to destroy my life. He doesn't care. You know, but if I'm coming against him, he probably does care about that. You know, if we're doing, you know, not just ministers, but us as Christians. I mean, one of our things that we should be doing is going out and winning the lost. All right, is sharing the good news. You know, and if we're doing that, then the devil's probably not really happy about that. I mean, you know, I mean, this guy was on the road to hell, and you messed up my plan for his life. Do you understand? Just because God has a plan for your life, the devil has a plan that he'd like to do in your life too. He wants to wreak havoc. You know, and that's what he wants. And so I understand that, you know, I'm very, if you listen to me, I'll let you know about the storms that I face as a family, even we as a ministry or whatever, because I want to let you know, we all face storms. But the thing about it, we all have the same God. We all have the same Jesus in our boat. You know, and I'm not waiting for him to do anything because he's already done something. He died on the cross. He gave me authority in the name of Jesus. That at the mention of his name, it says that demons tremble. See, I'm not afraid. I have the name of Jesus. Not only do I have the name of Jesus, I have the Spirit of the living God living on the inside of me. You know, I always think of myself as my own superhero. I am a superhero of myself. You know, I don't know what, maybe I'm Craig Man. I don't know what that, or maybe I'm just Jesus Man. I don't know. I mean, I'm not calling myself Jesus because, I walk with him. He walks with me. We're together. We're like the Wonder Twins. Some of you that remember that. The Wonder Twins, remember the Wonder Twins? Watched cartoons back in the day. I mean, we're together. I'm together because it says I'm seated together in Christ Jesus. I mean, we're together. We're together. I'm never alone. I'm always with him. Wherever I go, there he follows. I mean, you say, well, I thought you were supposed to follow him. No, because he's with me. He follows me because he's with me. He's on the inside of me. He leads me. He guides me. He shows me the way. He's always with me. And I've never been concerned about storms because, storms come and storms go. I know what to do in the middle of the storm. One thing I do is that over in James 1:2, it says to count it all joy. All joy. Count it all joy. New Living Translation says, said, dear brothers and sisters, when trouble of any kind comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Because it's not joyful when storms come. But you know what? I have joy because I have the joy of the Lord on the inside of me. I know who I am in Christ Jesus. I know what I have. I know what I've been promised. I don't just sing the songs about victory. I know I've been victorious in Christ Jesus. And see, here's the deal. I mean, I grew up playing athletics, and I understand what it is to win, what it is to lose. I've won sometimes. I've lost sometimes, But I've never walked on the field knowing ahead of time I was definitely going to win. Now, there have been many times I thought I was going to win or my team was going to win. But think about it. Wherever we walk, any field we walk on, we win. That's what the Bible says. Why do we win? Because is it because we're real good? No, it's not because I don't have to be as good at the game because I have Jesus. Jesus is the master of all games. And he's not concerned about the adversary, the opponent. He's not concerned about winds and waves, and he's not concerned about financial situations or sickness or disease. So why should we be upset? Why should we be concerned? See, the deal is we have a choice. We can be upset about our storm or excited about our Jesus. See, I choose to be excited. I choose to have an opportunity for great joy. Because I can have joy in the middle of my storm. And that takes me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to finish off of that. Philippians 4:4 starts out, it says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I mean, we just talked about, opportunity for joy. I mean, always means all at all times, good times, bad times. When in the middle of the storm, I'm going to be joyful in the Lord. I'm excited. It says, I say it again, rejoice. Rejoice means have joy again. Don't just have joy, have it again. I always point out the Apostle Paul says, I finished my course with joy. He still had joy when he was shipwrecked. He had joy when he was beaten. He had joy when he was in prison. He always had joy because he had Jesus. And when you have, see, Jesus and joy are synonymous. I have Jesus, so I have joy. It says, let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Verse 4 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. See, the thing is, I have Jesus, so I have peace. When I'm going through a trial, a tribulation, when I'm going through a storm, I just said, Lord, this is what I'm going through. This is what I need. I'm going to have joy in the middle of it. This is what I need. You take care of it, and I'm going to have peace. Now, see, having peace doesn't mean that I go home every night and try to figure out what I'm going to do. It doesn't mean I go home every night and cry about it. I go getting depressed about it. I go gripe on social media about it. Having peace is, you know what? I know who's in control. I know I'm victorious. I know I'm a winner. I'm not a loser. I'm not a double loser, especially. See, double loser has horns. So we always win. You know, it says he's always caused us to triumph through Christ Jesus. We always triumph. I'm a winner, not a loser. You know, and I know that's where, you know, my dad has his saying, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. See, if you don't quit, you're going to make it. You know, and you just have to decide, well, yeah, but it's tough because, you know, see, the only reason it's tough is because you're concentrating on the storm. You're concentrating on the, you know, and to use the President Trump example, you're concentrating on the liberal media talking about stuff that may, you know, they don't even have right. And even if they do have it half right, it's probably not completely right. It doesn't even matter. The point is, the devil is out to destroy you. His purpose is to destroy you. His purpose is to cause you a storm. He's going to keep causing you storms. But Jesus Christ, he came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He came that you're victorious in Christ Jesus. He came so we can know who's in our boat when we're in the middle of each and every storm. And the reason that this boat thing is in the Bible is to understand that I don't care if the water's coming in, Jesus still has peace. And if he's peaceful, you be peaceful. Because, see, I'm trusting in him. You know, the Bible says to trust in him, lean not to our own understanding. So I'm trusting in him. If he's able to sleep in the middle of the rain and storm, I'm going to sleep next to him. Amen. But you say, but how are you going to do that, Craig? Because there's storms. So what? If he can sleep, I can sleep. Well, yeah, but how do you do that? Because that's called the peace that passes all understanding. I don't understand how I'm able to do that. I just know that my God is so good. I know that he's in control. I know if I tried to do it, I couldn't do it anyway, so why should I even try? That's why I got to the point, I quit trying to do things because I know I can't. You know, because, you know, the Bible says you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. But, I mean, in my own strength, I can't do it. Now, what he does is he shows me, you know, and he leads me and he guides me and he shows me what to do. I just lean on him. So instead of trying to figure it out more, I just pray more. I just say, Lord, what do you want me to do? How are we going to do this? See, every time I have a situation, it's we're together, me and Jesus. You know, we're a pair. We go through situations together. So, you know, I mean, he's helping me. I mean, if he's leading me and guiding me, then he's helping me. You know, and the thing about it is, just remember, you're going to the other side. I mean, every time I tell myself, it will be okay. It will be okay. You know, and to leave you off on an example, there was a pastor who had taken over a church. I mean, there was, you know, church had been there for a long time, and he was associate pastor. The pastor retired, gave him the church, and I spoke for him. I actually spoke for him at the meeting, whatever they passed down the mantle or whatever. Some people weren't really excited about it because the pastor, they didn't know he was going to retire. But anyway, so I talked to him one day and I said, well, how's things going to church? He goes, honestly, Craig, you know, I just want to be honest with you. I'm not trying to, it's not a faith statement, but, you know, it's been a little tough, you know, and we've had, you know, a tough time making it. You know, there's been some, you know, some bad situations financially. He says, I've had to actually, my wife and I are both working a secular job as well to try to make ends meet. Nothing wrong with that. That's fine. You know, but, you know, said the pastor before didn't have to do that because, you know, the finances were coming in. You know, and he said, you know, and it's been even making the payments, you know, because the building wasn't paid off. And he said, it's been tough, you know, financially. I looked at him and I said, you know what? It's all going to be okay. No, I didn't. It wasn't thus saith the Lord, it's all going to be okay. I just told him it's going to be okay based upon what God's word says. Well, you know what? He took what I said as a prophecy or whatever, and he stood on that. It's all going to be okay. And he began to stand on it's all going to be okay. And he changed his attitude. And next time I talked with him, come to find out that something happened. And it's a long story to explain. But basically, next time I talked to him, his building was completely paid off. You know, him, his wife, and his secretary were working full-time for the church. They had plenty of money in the bank. And God is good. I mean, this was like basically a year apart. And he said, I want to thank you for for giving me that word. I'm like, it wasn't really a word. It was just, I just said it. It's going to be okay. And see, but see, sometimes that we think if, you know, maybe he thought that it was something I got from God. I didn't. I mean, it is something I got from God, because I got it from God's word. And sometimes we don't realize that God's word works. And that's what, you know, my grandfather always would say, that God's word works. God's word works for me, and God's word works for you. God's word always works. It's not that hard. You're in a boat. Jesus is with you. He has peace, so should you. End of story. Amen. You know, but you said, well, Craig, but what about the waves and the wind? I don't care about that. It says, you know, I got Jesus, so waves and wind don't matter. Water doesn't matter. You know, he got a little wet. So what if I get a little wet? I'm coming the other side. You know, the deal is I'm not ever focusing in on my storm. Because see, focusing on the storm would be just like focusing on the devil. The devil is a storm. He exists. That's why I point out John 10:10 all the time. The devil exists. He wants to destroy your life, but Jesus wants to make it better. It's really simple. It's not a hard thing. But sometimes we forget about it. Because we get the storm mentality. In fact, a lot of times even, you know, whenever we hear on the TV or whatever, there are storms or whatever, instead of having peace, we freak out. I always have peace in a lot of storms, because you know what? I've got to the point, and you know, and I know there's been many times, and you know, sometimes that some people are taking cover. I said, I'll know on the inside if I need to take cover. Why? Because, you know, I have a covenant with God. He's gonna help me. He's gonna lead me. And if it's gonna come that I need to take cover, then he'll warn me. It's better than, you know, Channel 9's warn team or whatever, you know, or even a siren, because sirens may or may not work. But the point, you know, my thing is you know, I take authority over tornadoes way before they come close, and especially you know. Now we've had opportunities where they said, well, the next few days will be optimal time for tornadoes. Well, that's optimal time for our prayer life too. You know, and I just use the example that Jesus did. Speak to the storm. And I don't, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not making fun of my neighbors or anybody else. But I don't care if a storm strikes everybody else. You know, tornadoes are known to strike a lot of places and miss certain places. Well, if someone's going to be missed, it's going to be my house. Why? Because I have a force field around my house. I know what surrounds my house, and my house is surrounded with faith and love. You know, and I understand. You know, and the deal is I don't get afraid. Why? Because God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. See, I believe that verse. And that's what we have to actually start believing our verses. And if we believe our verses, our life will change. That's the deal. I want to challenge us to believe the verses that you read. I want you to challenge you to believe the songs that you sing. And if we would do that, our life would be a whole lot easier. I realize that every day that I go out that I may face a storm, but I also realize that every day that if a storm comes, I have Christ with me. I realize every day that I'm a winner. I'm victorious. I pump myself up all the time. I tell myself I'm victorious. Because, you know, there's some days you don't feel like you're victorious. Anyone ever woke up and not felt like you're having a victorious day? But I'm not moved by how I feel. I'm not moved by what it looks like. See, that, you know, I have faith. My faith isn't in me. My faith is in God. I trust God. I don't, you know, it doesn't matter. Storms may come, but I'm getting it through. Amen. God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for this small little word about what to do in the middle of our storms. And And understanding that storms will come, understanding that it's, you know, that they'll happen, but understanding that we have to know who we are in Christ Jesus. Because when we know who we are in Christ Jesus, that we can take authority over these storms, these situations, these circumstances. And Father God, help us all to remember this message, not today, but the next time we face a situation, a storm, a trial, a test. Help us understand, you know what, that's just the devil. The devil's trying to test our faith. But you know what, we can believe. And help us understand that we're a winner and not a loser. We're above and not beneath. We're the head, not the tail. And Father God, we thank you if anyone is here that's not a child of God, they don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place without making him Lord and Savior of their life. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you at one time you did, but you want to come back home, you want to rededicate yourself to God, lift your hand right now. We want to pray with you. We want to make sure that you know who you are in Christ Jesus. And if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, or you've walked away and you want to come back home, lift your hand right now across this auditorium. Thank you, Father. I don't see any hands. Father God, we thank you if anyone is here that's not a child of God. We thank you, Father, for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis. And we thank you in advance that they will be saved. They will come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. If anyone's here that you need healing in your body, anyone need healing? Anybody need healing? If you need healing, come down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you, all right? Because you know what? It's his will that we're healed. Amen? And I always tell everybody, I don't care, you know, if it's a big sickness or a small sickness. You know what? Jesus don't want you to have a cold. Just like he don't want you to have cancer. You know, he doesn't want you to have anything. Because sometimes, you know, it's interesting that, you know, if we might just have a headache, that we're like, we don't do anything about it. But you know what? He didn't want me to have a headache. I always think, you know, Jesus didn't take his stripes on the back so I can have a headache. All right, so, you know, no matter what you have, I mean, I'm going to just ask you, the guys, to lift both hands toward heaven and think about Jesus and think about your healing. Father God, we thank you right now. As we lay hands upon these, we thank you, Father, for the healing power of God flowing into their bodies from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. In the name of Jesus, Father God, we thank you right now. In the name of Jesus. That's it right there. That's it right there. Hallelujah for your daughter. All right. Father God, we thank you for Holly right now. We thank you for her life. And we thank you right now in the name of Jesus for touching her body. We thank you, Father, for healing Holly. We thank you, Father, for that same power of God touching her right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 We have a few prayer clauses. Reach out toward these. Both of these they have torn rotator cuffs and torn muscles. I guess it's a husband and wife. So the devil's attacking them through the rotator cuffs. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you right now for the healing power of God flowing in these cloths. And we thank you, Father, as these are laid upon the bodies. We command these rotator cuffs to come in line. We command these muscles and these joints and whatever else is wrong with these bodies, we command them to come in line. We thank you, Father, for the healing power of God. We thank you, Father, for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. I know we have a few first-time visitors. We have the Connection team. They want to take you and want to give you a special gift that we have for you. We're glad that you came here. We're here every Sunday night at 6 p.m. Just follow them as they take you there. Also, we have a card for my dad if you want to go sign that. Also, you want to see Heather about Kindle the Flame. You know, she'll be back out there too, right outside. Or where are you going to be? Right out that door. Amen. Now, please remember, next time you go through a storm, remember what we talked about here tonight. And don't be all upset, but understand that he's right with you. He's helping you. He's leading you. He's guiding you. Amen? Amen. Well, the way we dismiss around here is I'll be back there to shake your hand at this door. If you don't want to shake my hand, there's this door over there. You can go out and, you know, amen. I just kind of joke about that because some people maybe they don't want to talk to me. I don't know. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful week, and we'll talk to you guys later.